turn the meeting over to Governor Tim Pawlenty. Mr. Pawlenty, you may begin.
Good afternoon, everybody, and sorry to keep you holding. We just arrived here at the airport and got on the phone as soon as we could. We're still in St. Louis. I'll just give you a quick update of what happened here, and then we'll go ahead and take your questions about this or anything else that you'd like to talk about. In terms of the meetings here, we got here early this morning and had a preliminary private meeting with three Pfizer executives, including the president of their American operations, and discussed a number of issues, but we talked about reimportation issues. We certainly shared our views on that. They indicated their objection or opposition to it in no uncertain terms, and it's quite clear to me that Pfizer is not going to be changing their position on reimportation. And so with that in mind, we then tried to see if there were any other areas that we might try to find some common ground or some hope for progress. One issue that did come up that might represent some chance for some progress is their willingness to look at federal trade issues, and specifically if the goal is to try to get fairer world prices so that American consumers aren't bearing the bulk of the burden for prescription medicines while everybody else is getting a discount, then we may need to ask our federal government to ask foreign countries to be more fair in carrying some of the burden, or perhaps even more promising, if the prescription drug companies are going to cut off supplies to Canada in an effort to kill our reimportation initiative, then perhaps a country like Canada has a World Trade Organization or a NAFTA or a trade-related violation that they might be able to bring. So we're going to be researching that. And that last piece isn't something, obviously, Pfizer is going to help with, but that's something we're going to be willing to explore. But we have a lot of work to do, and we think there's five or six things that we're going to have to pursue to try to bring some change, further change in the drug industry. They include continuing with reimportation, looking at the trade issue not only from what our own federal government could do on behalf of American consumers, but perhaps also urging Canada to combat Pfizer and others who are trying to choke off supply to their country in denial of legal trade. And we also think the Medicare prescription drug bill should be fixed so that the federal government can buy prescription medicines or negotiate prices for prescription medicines for Medicare patients. And we also think that it's worth pursuing shareholder resolutions. Since public entities are shareholders, we can bring shareholder resolutions to try to pressure them to change their practices. But in terms of the message I delivered today to the Pfizer executives, and I did have a brief meeting with the CEO, it seems like the only thing we could agree on in terms of common ground or making progress together would be some effort to ask the federal government to consider trying to get other countries to pay more of their share of the burden for research and development and innovation. That by itself may not drive world prices for prescription medicines down, but it may at least slow down the pressure for increases in America, but we'll see where that leads. I only had 2 minutes to speak to the general shareholder meeting, which I did, so I had to kind of pick a theme, and in short, what I said is we now have, my view is that the current pricing for prescription medicines is unsustainable. There's a Pfizer executive who was quoted in a Minnesota newspaper that they agreed that the current price structure was unsustainable. So we at least now have agreement that the current situation is unsustainable. And then the question is, what do you do about it? And those things I outlined earlier are things that steps I think we should take. Pfizer and I have very different views about, you know, where we should go from here. But I guess the net takeaway of the whole day would be we tried to put them on notice that we're not going away, that we'd like to try to be constructive where we can be, and that would be on the trade issues. And the rest of it, we're just going to have to continue to do battle, and hopefully someday we can get some help from our federal government. And that was basically the message. And we had a little lunch with some of the local senior leaders and senior groups here, and there were some Minnesotans here and some people from a couple other states. So we had a quick lunch with some senior leaders here in St. Louis, and then we're heading back home. And that was basically the day in a nutshell. And I'll be happy to take your questions about that or any other matters.
Thank you. At this time, we are ready to open it up for questions. If you'd like to ask a question, please press *1 on your touchtone phone. You will be prompted to record your name and will be announced prior to asking your question. You may press *2 to withdraw a question. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press *1. Our first question is from Mr. Bill Warner of Minnesota News Network. You may ask. question.
Good afternoon, Governor. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine.
Great. Say, that resolution that was presented asking Pfizer to develop strategies to hold cost increases no more than the rate of inflation, what happened on that? That's my first question. And secondly, is there any progress here as you see it that might generate some results short term, or are you going to have to go back and relook at other strategies?
No, there's no progress that I saw today that's going to bring short term relief. Again, the one kind of sliver of hope where they might be willing to work with us on is on these trade issues. And I got to be careful about how you do that, because if in the end all we do is get our federal government to knock down price barriers in other countries so the pharmaceutical industry can then raise prices in other countries and they don't bring some relief to American consumers, we haven't advanced the ball at all. So what form that takes is important. But to answer your question directly, that would be the only sign for any hope or joint effort with them. The rest of it looks like it's going to be adversarial. And they were very aggressive. And I'm told after I left, the CEO was even more aggressive in a press conference about importation and kind of making light of the fact that the pressures for these kinds of issues come and go with elections. And I'm not sure what he meant by that. But I don't think they take seriously yet the American opinion, public opinion on this. And I think they feel so confident that they've got Congress locked down that they don't view this as a real threat yet. So we've got some work to do. The other thing is, answer your other question, is the resolution that asked them to study ways to keep cost increases to somewhere around inflation got tubed badly. It was about a 5% vote in favor and about a 95% vote against. And so what I've learned also today is if you're going to bring these shareholder resolutions, it's interesting to make points or rhetorical points, but if you actually want to get one of these things to pass, you got to really put some work into getting other shareholders behind that. And our resolution from the state standpoint is coming up next week. Is everybody still there? Hello? Josh?
Yes, everyone's still here.
I had a bunch of static break-in.
Yeah, I heard that. I think that was coming from the last questioner's line.
Okay. Are we okay?
Yeah, we're okay.
Okay. Well, just to finish the thought, in terms of making these kinds of meetings useful from a shareholder resolution standpoint, we're going to have to get more shareholders behind the resolution that we're preparing for next year. And we've got some success. Vermont has joined us, and I've got calls into other governors. I'm going through the process of trying to solicit that, but I'm not interested in making rhetorical points. We got to get things done, and these resolutions just come in and have them get defeated, 95-5. They got to have more traction than that. We're going to have to get more shareholders to support them.
Our next question is from Mr. Jim Wishner of Minnesota News Connection.
Yeah, thank you, Governor. I appreciate it very much. It sounds like from what you have reported and from what the news release was that you sent out, that they were not impressed by your appeal. A bottom line question for you, Governor: what is Pfizer's motivation? Are they really sincere when they say that they're doing it to protect American consumers from possibly bad drugs, or is it a profit motive? And go ahead now.
Yeah, that's a good question, Jim. And I wanted to come here today and just, I've made very, I think, pointed remarks towards them and their behavior in the past. And I figured rather than just coming and recycling those arguments and being dismissed by them as a gadfly, try to seek out something that we might find common ground on. And that's why I emphasize to some extent this trade barrier issue. That being said, that's a long-term prospect, and the results of it or the effects of it are uncertain. Their primary motivation, I think, is profits. And they do have some programs that are helpful for seniors in terms of a discount card and some other charitable operations. But I think unless and until they feel that their profit model and their pricing model is at risk, they're going to continue doing what they're doing. And that means they're very aggressive in trying to put down reimportation or other threats to the current pricing model. And they say it is safety. They went so far today to say it's terrorism. But if you believe that we can do a lot with our FDA and with the technology that we have, I just don't believe that if the federal government wanted to establish a secure distribution and supply chain with Canadian pharmacies, that we couldn't do it. Right now in Minneapolis with the Veterans Hospital, we have a very sizable mail order pharmacy. This is at a facility that is federally funded, federally regulated. They mail out hundreds, if not thousands, of prescriptions a day, and they do it in a safe, orderly, secure manner. Why couldn't we take those same procedures and protocols in conjunction with the FDA and their Canadian counterpart and apply them to a limited number of Canadian pharmacies, test it, see what the results are? We'll even pay for it. I'll have the Minnesota offer to pay for part of it, and then we'll live by the results. And why can't we at least try it? But the answer from the drug industry is no. The FDA hopefully will at least look at it, but I'm only left to conclude that they're not interested in that approach, and in part because they're, understandably, as a company, a for-profit company, their motivation is making money. Hello?
Our next question is from Mr. Kevin Duchere of Minneapolis Star Tribune.
Hello?
Hi, Governor.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi. Hey, another question involving the State Investment Board. You're aware there's a bill going through both houses to earmark up to $200 million of the state pension fund for investment in Minnesota biotech startups over the next 3 years. Do you have a position on that?
Well, I spoke to that repeatedly during the campaign, Kevin, in terms of a bioscience initiative or a venture capital initiative or an economic development initiative. But since I've become governor, I've been counseled about my role as a fiduciary to the State Board of Investment. And so that type of initiative being advanced by somebody who's the chair of the board may be inconsistent with that fiduciary duty because it calls into question whether it would impact return on investment. The folks that are advising me on there are saying you're not necessarily completely prohibited from it, but it would be at least questionable whether I should be the one out now proposing that. And so I've left that to the legislature to advance, and it's my understanding it is advancing. But I've stepped back from that debate for that reason. It's not because but if you go back to the campaign, you'll see that I spoke to that on repeated occasions.
The bill, as I understand it, would authorize the board to take that action if it so chose, not mandate the board to do that.
Yeah, and if that's the wording of the legislation and it's consistent with maximizing returns, then that's something I probably could get involved in and speak to. I just have to be careful that I don't do things that directly diminish the investment returns for the people I'm representing as a State Board of Investment member. The other thing the board would say, or at least the staff on the board would say, is they do a lot of that anyhow, and so it may not represent a big change depending on how much money the ultimate bill is talking about.
Thank you.
Yep. Hello?
Ms. Lori Sturdivant with Star Tribune. You may ask your question.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Governor.
Hi, Lori.
Thank you very much for doing this. Am I right then to conclude from your remarks about today's meeting that you now despair of making progress in the any kind of direct negotiations with the drug companies, and think that for folks who want to do something about this issue, the way to proceed is in the political arena? Is that your conclusion from today?
Yes, I think that's a fair summary, Lori. Other than this trade issue, which again is long term and has maybe debatable benefits in terms of downward pressure on prices, there was no indication today that they are going to voluntarily change their approach. In fact, they were quite adamant that they were going to continue the course that they're on. Now, to their credit, they are introducing some new things, a couple of discount cards, but I learned more about those cards throughout the day, and while they are some progress, they're not a very comprehensive solution for many people. But the short answer to your question and the way you summarized it is yes.
Then if I can follow up, what advice would you have for, say, the good folks at the Minnesota Senior Federation who do want to devote their own volunteer time and energy into changing this policy?
Well, to the members of the Senior Federation and to other seniors and other people who are in need of more affordable medicines, they're going to have to speak out, stay involved, and hold public officials accountable for some progress. The Medicare bill that passed this session is some progress, but it's got some significant holes in it that are going to need to be addressed. But it's I would say everybody who's concerned or mad or motivated about these issues needs to put a marker out there and hold elected officials accountable for making some progress. And I don't think right now the drug companies feel that that they're facing a serious threat by Congress. I think they think they have the upper hand right now.
Thank you.
Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. Ann Alquist with KFAI Radio, you may ask your question.
Actually, this is Curtis Gilbert with KFAI Radio. Governor Plenty, I was wondering how your stance on this affects your relationship with the Republican Party on a national level and at a state level. It seems like part of your position is a little at odds with the party.
Yeah, Curtis, that's also a good question. Just to answer it directly, it does put me at odds with probably the bulk of the national Republican Party and leadership, but you know, we're not going to agree on everything, and I think people are adults about it. They realize that, and I'm with them on a lot of things, and so I don't think it destroys the relationship, but there is some tension over it. The some hopeful signs is there are a few more Republicans joining the effort here. Charles Grassley introduced a bill from Iowa recently. John McCain has come on board pretty significantly in over the last 6 months. I'm told even Trent Lott switched his position. He apparently was against reimportation and now says he's for it. And there's rumors of other people in the United States Senate being poised to switch. The Senate may vote on it yet this year, and I'm told that there's at least a 50-50 chance the bill could pass. But then the real question is, is the leadership willing to sincerely conference the bill, or will it, you know, languish in conference committee?
Bill Werner with Minnesota News Network, you may ask your question.
Hi, Governor. I hope you'll entertain a question on another hot topic here, and that's the Victory Sports issue.
Sure.
Senator Cohen says that you need to reevaluate your priorities. He says, quote, it took 45 days and 75,000 people without public transit for the governor to get involved in the bus strike. But it took only 8 home games and a dampened outlook for a new baseball stadium for the governor to step in, unquote.
Well, again, everybody wants to be armchair quarterback about whether I got into the bus strike too late or too early, and no matter what I do, people are going to say you should have done it differently. So folks are entitled to their opinion. But on the bus strike issue, those were very different issues. The dynamics were very different, and candidly, the bus strike had to go a certain amount of time before the parties got realistic and it was ripe for me to get involved. I'll just tell you, my opinion is, had I entered the bus strike in week 1 or week 2, we would not have had the resolution, and we certainly wouldn't have had the resolution that we had in week 6. And unlike in 1995, that everybody fondly remembers, you know, I wasn't pressured by the Teamsters to go in and fold up the deal, and we didn't have extra money laying around, and so we got a resolution on our terms, substantially on our terms. So in the long-term best interest of the state, the bus strike resolution was the right thing to do. Because we had to get a permanent, structural, big-time fix. And that's big reform, and it's hard work. And it wasn't about just throwing some more money on the pile and shaking hands with the Teamsters. On the issue of Victory Sports, it's a different set of dynamics. And I think the process of mediation is a helpful tool. And I don't know if it's going to lead to resolution. I'm not personally going to be at the mediation. I'm just offering a suggestion for a process to get it resolved. So I don't think it's a fair comparison for all those reasons.
Thanks, Governor.
Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. Jim Wishner, Minnesota News Connection, you may ask your question.
Yeah, thank you, Governor, for entertaining a second question. This goes to motivation. I've been interested about this. Governors or senators or congresspeople sometimes get interested in issues that seem to be a little bit at odds with what their ideology or political philosophy would be, and I think the gentleman from KFAI addressed this in some degree from his earlier question. What motivates you on this issue? And I'd make reference, for example, to your predecessor, Governor Jesse Ventura. He seemed to go to the mat for license plate registration renewal fees.
Yeah.
And apparently he had a personal experience with that, and that was a primary thing. And while you were in the House, as you know, that's how he decided to spend his one-third of that arrangement over the budget surplus. Sir, what motivates you on this issue that makes you want to go to the mat for it?
Well, one thing primarily is, in as a legislator and now as a governor, I have developed an acute sensitivity around how large and how dramatic and how significant the health care crisis that we're facing is. The rate at which health care costs are going up, the implications that has for access to health care are profound. And you look at our budget crisis in Minnesota and our future budget pressures, and the same is true for most of the rest of the states around the country. The number one driver of government budgets is social services and health care, and it is going up at a rate and pace that we candidly cannot keep up with, and neither can businesses, neither can individuals, and neither can families. Now, prescription medicines are only one piece of that, but they are a significant piece, and we have an opportunity, I have an opportunity on this and other aspects of the health care debate to try to lead change. But it is one of the most profound public policy challenges of our time for a whole bunch of reasons, and I think people expect leaders and governors to try to tackle these kinds of problems. This is one way to do it, and if we don't do it, it is going to consume our budgets in ways that are going to be very harmful to our other priorities. And so I'm passionate about it because it is a very important public policy challenge and leadership challenge, and I think I can bring some relief. On the philosophy of it, people criticize this because it's not conservative. I disagree. Shopping the world market for the best deal is consistent with market principles. As I said in a press conference yesterday, other products are subject to distorted markets in other countries, and we import those products without being righteous about it. Why would we make exceptions? Why wouldn't we take advantage of the world marketplace for prescription medicines? And then on the Medicare bill, government going in and negotiating on behalf of the Medicare population isn't price controls. It's being a good purchaser of services, a smart purchaser of services. And there's only one entity that can have that big, much volume for the Medicare program. Right now they got it sliced up into other private entities going out and doing the negotiation. If we did it in bulk, they could get a much better deal on behalf of the Medicare program. And this bill that just passed amazingly prohibits the government, prohibits itself from negotiating a bulk discount for Medicare patients.
Mr. Ben Dittman, you may ask your question.
We learned of a pork company bringing 200 jobs to town. This is the fourth business that has come to Albert Lea as a result of the Job Z program. I'm wondering, in comparison to Albert Lea, how is the Job Z doing around the rest of the state?
Well, Albert Lea is leading the pack. I think this is the fourth Job Z success story for Albert Lea. I missed the front end of your question, Ben, but I think it related to the new pork processing facility.
Yes, it did.
It's a Quality Pork is the name of the company, and I understand it's in some sort of financial partnership with Hormel. But it's exciting. We believe that areas such as Albert Lea and others need this kind of incentive to bring jobs back to Greater Minnesota, to grow jobs in Greater Minnesota. And I know of no other community that is having at least the number of successes as Albert Lea has had so far. But we do have up to 100. Expressions of interest from other companies around Minnesota currently that we're tracking. Right now, I'd say at least 20 of those are likely to be turned into closed deals sometime over the next several months. And we're going to be announcing another one or celebrating another one tomorrow in Laverne, Minnesota. And unique aspect of that one, it's actually a company moving back from South Dakota because of a Jobs E opportunity. So we're excited about that. But over the next 6 to 12 months, you're going to see dozens of these things around Minnesota, and we're excited about it. But to answer your question directly, to my knowledge, Albert Lee may be leading the pack in terms of number of Jobs E businesses landed so far.
Thank you.
Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. At this time, Governor, there are no further questions.
That works out great. Josh, thanks for the help, and thank you, everybody, for your interest. Bye-bye.